That's you, Trustee Schneider.
Yep. Ms. Phillips, will you call the roll?
Trustee Schneider?
Present.
Trustee Clay?
Is participating via via conference call.
Carr.
Trustee Carr, I'm sorry. Trustee Carr?
Yes.
We were taking the roll. We just need you to say present.
Okay, present. I can barely hear you.
Okay.
Can everyone please speak into the mic when it's your turn to speak? Does that help, Trustee Carr?
Not really. Are you close to the mic?
Yeah, I am. Is that not loud enough?
Now I can hear you. Yes, that's better.
Okay.
So my understanding from General Counsel Kelly is that we do not have a quorum, but are permitted to have an informational meeting or an informational session.
That is correct.
Ms. Phillips, will you certify, please, that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, the meeting requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, and the Gwendolyn Brooks Library buildings.
Did someone else just join the meeting?
Sounds like.
Is Trustee Carr still on the phone?
I'm calling his office. Yeah, Trustee Carr was disconnected.
Yeah, he said he got disconnected again. I'll call you back.
Okay, dial back in, thanks. Trustee Carr, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you.
We will proceed with the agenda that has been published and start by calling Larry Owens, Interim Vice President of Financial Affairs, to present the Financial Affairs Report.
Are there any documents?
The documents were sent. I'll give Laura a call for you. Just a second.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The documents that would have been in your original packet, first, it was a summary of financial operations for the six-month period ending December 31, 2019. And in this report, it's a comparison between 12/31/19 and 12/31/18 of the current status and the income statement activity for those 6 months for those two periods ended. And if you like, I can either entertain any questions or just give you a brief overview of the report.
If you could give a brief overview, that would be terrific.
Okay. So on page number one, you'll see the combined balance sheet as it compares the two periods. And the total assets for 12/31/19 was $183,670,000. Versus 12/31/18 of $188,680,000. The significant differences between the 2 years would be probably the decrease in our state receivables, item number two, because on page three there is a MD&A explanation for the differences, and item number two is the decrease in the state receivables is due to us having received all items that were vouchered to date for the state appropriation fiscal 20.
Because the state has deposited all those funds for which we've submitted a voucher.
That is correct. Whereas last year we were a little slower in having the collections, probably due to the timing of when they were sent out and given time for it to get back. But this year we've received all of the ones that we have vouchers so far. And then item number three on the receivables, there is approximately $2.5 million increase in the receivables, mainly due to increased billings for student housing of $1.3 million related to the overall local income fund. From the liability side, item number four, you see a general decrease in the liabilities, which are a result of the one-year time span from the long-term liabilities having a one-year payoff in the normal course of business. Next up, if you turn the page on page two, it is our combined statement of revenues and expenditures showing our revenues in fiscal year 19 of $54.2 million compared to $50.7 million last year. The expenditures, $45 million in fiscal 19 compared to $43.5 million in fiscal 18. The excess deficiency or revenues over expenditures in fiscal 19 is sitting at $9 million versus $7.2 million from last year. Again, the items of significant or note between the 2 years, if you look at item number five, there is a decrease in the state grants and contracts. This is a result of our CRCP grant now being included in the non-governmental grants as a result of the auditor's decision that it should be recorded in non-grants as opposed to the state grants. Item number six is an increase which mainly corresponds to what we just talked about, the CRCP going from the state grant to the non-governmental grants, and that also coupled with an increase in funding from the Chicago State Foundation of approximately $144,000. Item number seven is the capital grants and the increase, no, I'm sorry, that's for the sales and services of auxiliary services, approximately $1 million increase. Due to, again, the timing of the student housing room and board charges that have gone through. Item number eight deals with the federal. I need to have lines next time. Item number eight deals with the capital grants and appropriation. And in this instance, we have an approximately $120,000 decrease in capital grants and appropriation. And since this number represents funding that's received by the Capital Development Board, it's simply a matter of the timing as well as what the CDB has been authorized to do for the university. And at this time, this year, they've just done less work for the university than it was in the prior year. Item number nine deals with the state non-operating grants. And here we have a $400,000 increase in state non-operating grants, and this is mainly due to the normalization and earlier funding of our MAP funds. And finally, item number 10 deals with our equipment and library book expenditures, and we have a $680,000 decrease in that expenditure, and that is mainly due to one-time purchase of housing furniture for the student housing last year that we did not incur this year, coupled with $200,000 that we have taken out that was in the operating lease that previously was sitting here to be capitalized as a fixed asset. But again, as a result of the auditor asking us that it should be treated as an operating lease, we took that amount out. Any questions on that part of the report?
So the increase in state appropriations, at what point in the year would that have started to flow through to this account?
So when you say the increase in the state appropriations, I'm not, because our general state appropriation stayed the same for the year on year. Last year we had an increase in what was recognized because we had a catch up from the fiscal 17 appropriation.
Okay.
I mean, we had an increase in our state appropriation of 5%, which is about $1.7 million. Is that what you're asking about?
Okay. So it would not be flowing through yet because just like we talked about the receivable, that's recognized as we bill it to the state. And as I've mentioned in the receivable, we've received everything that we bill, and we try to bill, since most of the appropriation goes for our labor charges, we try to bill approximately $3 to $4 million every 2 months until we catch up. So yes, you wouldn't see the entire $1 million increase just yet.
Okay.
Other parts of the report on page 4, that's the quarterly investment summary report showing where we have the excess cash invested in. And in this analysis, you see that the interest earned so far to date is $186,287.
What is
CWAY? What is CWAY?
Yeah.
It's now a division of Self-Help Credit Union, but it's a small minority-owned credit union. So it's one of the financial institutions that we use. Our main banks would be Chase and Citibank. But we also have some funds deposited and some services conducted by CWAY. Okay? Opposite that page is the contractual obligations of 10,000 and up that is prepared by the purchasing department, which shows the items that they have contracted into for the month period of December 16th, 2019 through January 16th, 2020. So that's for informational purposes so that the committee and board will be aware of significant purchasing obligations that we've encountered. And that concludes the financial operations report. What I would like to say now is that in your original documents, some of the information that was included was a summary of the fiscal 19 audit financial report. But since that time, the actual report has been released and is available on the OAG website. We did receive one finding within that report, which I will gladly discuss if you want to, but I also wanted to make sure I know that internal audit, depending upon our timing, has a number of issues for you to discuss. So I'll entertain any questions that you may have, though.
Are there any questions? Trustee Carr, any questions?
I'm sorry. I would like you to discuss those issues.
For the audit finding?
Yes.
Sure, no problem. Let me find the report. And I'll try to summarize it as best I can, and when you get the opportunity, you can read the actual finding and let me know if you have any more detailed questions. But the...
Larry, one moment.
Yes.
You can find the materials under the finance report tab of your binder. Okay, Larry.
So, in looking at the finding, it's titled Inadequate Control Over Financial Reporting. You will see basically four bullet points which highlight the concerns that were brought up and addressed during the financial audit. The first bullet point talks about the university incorrectly recording a local grant totaling $1.5 million as operating revenues and operating expenses as opposed to a flow through. So this relates to the CRCP grant, and they are saying that rather than showing it at a gross revenue and expenditure analysis, it should have flown through with no gross effect on the financials. What you will see in there is that we did make the proper adjustments to the financial statements so that it's not reflected in the financial statements. And that is generally the case with all of these issues. But the way the auditors do their findings, if they, quote, find it, they will at least state it in their report, but the proper adjustments have been made to the final financial statements.
On all of these, Larry?
Yes. And within the narrative, it'll say that the adjustment was made. The second,
have we changed our process to make sure that we can find these, or we have more transparency and visibility into this?
Absolutely. One of the things that we will deal with in the future is for all audit findings, we have to prepare. I was trying to make sure I get the correct name, a corrective action plan. And I have started on the corrective action plan, and in that plan it talks about what we've done now and what we've set up so that this won't occur in the future. A lot of them will be one-time, unique interpretations on how something should be treated. But even in those instances, we try to at least put some kind of doctrine together to say what you should look for or investigate in the future. But yes, that applies to all of these points.
Okay.
All right. The second bullet point talks about computer equipment that we purchased last year. Well, we actually leased it. And in this case, there are different, the literature on how to treat leased equipment. We believed it should have been treated as a capital lease because of the dollar value of it of over $1 million. But the auditors came through and decided that while we were looking at the lease, because it's all from one company, as $1 amount gross value, they felt that we should treat it as the individual cost of each lease. So that's why they then recommended that it be changed to an operating lease and the costs shown every year as we pay the lease payment. And again, that change was made in the financial statements.
Okay.
Item bullet point number 3 dealt with just some reclassifications. And this deals with, as a good example for you, on the multitude of subaccounts, you may have some receivable accounts that normally would have a positive balance that had negative balance. In total, the receivable balance would have a positive number. What they requested that we do was take all receivable balances that had negative balances and reclassify those to unearned revenue. And by the same token, on the opposite side, for unearned revenues that normally would have a credit balance that had a temporary debit balance or positive balance, they asked us to reclass those to receivables. And again, in those instances, for our financial reporting, that was indeed done. And then finally, bullet number, the fourth bullet point, talks about the university improperly classified non-governmental grant and contracts revenue of $92,000 as federal grants and contracts revenue. That is what I alluded to earlier when we were going over the financial statements, in which a grant that we had received that they felt should be classified as non-governmental because it was received as part of the CRCP program and not through the state of Illinois, that it was in the wrong classification. This particular one had no impact whatsoever because it was just a matter of which income line it was sitting on. But we did make the adjustment to move it to the proper income line and have noted that for the future.
Got it.
All right, and so that is pretty much it for that finding. Any other questions?
Hearing none, thank you.
All right, thanks.
I call Natalie Covello, Chief Internal Auditor, to present the internal audit report.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a few items to run through today. The first is the internal audit activity charter. It is the foundational document for our internal audit shop. It defines the purpose, authority, and responsibility. It incorporates both the state-mandated Fiscal Control and Internal Auditing Act, sometimes referred to as FISHA, as well as the Institute of Internal Auditors standards, two criteria we must adhere to. It's also been reviewed by General Counsel, discussed with President Scott. I can take any questions, but I will be submitting this for approval at some point. I'd be happy to take any questions. Moving along, I have the annual confirmation of organizational independence. It is a requirement that I report to the board and to the president to notify you of my independence. Internal audit is positioned for independence in reporting to the president and the board. And should there be an impairment, I would disclose that immediately. And this is submitted for acknowledgement. Take any questions. Otherwise, I'll move on to the next document, which is the internal audit plan revision. This is where adhering to both the internal audit standards and the state's FISHA Act gets a little bit tricky. The IIA standards require a risk-based audit plan, where FISHA requires coverage in 11 categories. Those are noted off to the left, to the right-hand side. The top half includes the four audits that were completed during fiscal year 19, and the categories those covered are noted as well. For fiscal year 20, which we are a little over halfway through, I've got the rest of the plan for approval. Includes the quality assurance review, a payroll audit, a cashier operations audit, and ethics. Those three are in progress. A pre-implementation review of a travel module, travel reimbursement module, to be installed. Includes a follow-up quality assurance review, disposal process review, and unauthorized purchases. You'll notice there are special projects with a TBD. Those are a requirement of FISHA if the president or the board has any requests for audit. With this plan, all the categories will be covered, and we would comply with that FISHA Act, excuse me. Be happy to take any questions. I will submit for approval. The next audit plan will be presented before July of this year.
And so of the audit areas that you conduct, how many of those are dictated by FISHA versus how many of those are selected in your own discretion?
We are currently undergoing a risk assessment process, so the audit plan will consider both risk and in those categories, so it'd be the highest risk in each of those categories. Right now we have the disposal and unauthorized purchases as two just to get the coverage areas. Moving to the next document, it's an internal audit dashboard, just presenting very high level where internal audit is. Trustee Carr requested sort of a monthly report card, and I'm hoping that this satisfies that between our committee meetings. It highlights the project status for internal audits, so showing for 2020 we've got 4 not yet started, 3 in progress with 1 complete. It'll also show the audit ratings and then the implementation of audit recommendations. So I do have an update from what's in your binder. There were 7 recommendations issued for fiscal year 19. Currently, we only have 1 open with 6 in progress. So that's just an update. Also report our customer surveys. All right, moving on.
Do we have a timeline on when you think they will be finished?
Later this year for all of them, I've got from May to October of 2020. So we'll be following up. We'll be establishing a more formalized process to follow up on these to make sure that they are, as stated, getting complete, and I'll be reporting on those as well.
And have you hired the consultants that were needed?
Yes.
For all of
which is a great segue into the last document here, which is informational updates. We have been working with external auditors in completing the risk assessment. It should be finalized within the next week or two, and I'd love to have them come and present to the Finance and Audit Committee if that's desired. A couple more informational items for you to look through.
Who are the external consultants that are doing the
R&M Consulting?
And who are they?
They're a small women-owned business. I sent out for some informal bids, and they came back with the best quality and lowest price for us.
Yeah, they presented to several teams on this process, and we've been very impressed with their work in helping our auditor develop the plan and our risk assessment.
And how large is your team? It's you.
Right now.
Okay.
We have.
I do have a consultant helping with getting some audits completed. Yeah.
And we have we have posted a position.
Yep.
It's a civil service position. By state regulation, it's civil service requires testing and then a review of the test results, and then applicants are based on some criteria forwarded to the university for interview. We don't have a lot of access to the process.
Yeah.
It's lengthy.
Yes. It's been several months up. We are hopeful on that. We also have an intern helping with the website and things.
And do you have like a whistleblower line or something that comes into your show?
We don't actually. We have the ethics commissions. Is that
correct? So the state ethics commission has a whistleblower hotline. We are actually in the process, though, as a part of our own ethics and compliance project of soliciting vendors to have a university-wide ethics and compliance hotline, mm-hmm. Which the goal will be to have by the end of the fiscal year.
And that would flow into?
Through a private vendor who would then source them to our ethics officer.
Doing a complete top to bottom compliance review with an outside consultant right now.
Okay. All right. The risk assessment is being coordinated with the strategic. Goals and objectives are being incorporated into our risk assessment. We're also sharing the results with the compliance evaluation. We'll be working on internal control certification, and I'll be reporting on that next time, probably. The external audit updates, financial has been issued, as Larry mentioned. Compliance should be issued in the spring. The Legislative Audit Commission, CSU is not required to go in front of the commission as a result of our updates to the fiscal 2018 audit findings. I have some staffing we went over and then some continuing professional education that's required of all auditors. And that concludes my presentation.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments?
In general, do you feel that we're in a better position than when we met in early November, I think it was?
Absolutely, yes. I think we've got our hands around a lot of things that need to be done and things in motion.
Thank you. So this ends the Finance and Audit Committee report. The board will go into public and employee comments. Have there been any?
Bonnie, has anyone signed up for public comment?
No one signed up.
Okay. Then we will recess into executive session.
Trustee Carr, if you could hang up, I'll reopen the line.
You don't want to just do it in here?
That's fine.
All right, thank you.
We could just walk out.
Okay. Do you have the recording?
Yeah, the recording is good. Okay. We're going to start executive session. If you can stop this one. We're going to do it in here.
So we'll just need to ask.